Matthew chapter 13. We're going to begin with verse 24. In my Bible, it's called the parable of the weeds. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. And the owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where'd the weeds come from?" "The enemy did this," he replied. The servant asked them, "Don't you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barns." Now skip down to verse 36. It says, "Then he left the crowd and went into the house. And his disciples came to him and said, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field.' He answered, 'The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. And as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they'll weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. And they'll be thrown into the fiery furnace, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Dear God, bless us now as we study your word. In Christ's name, amen. Well, isn't it interesting? They talk about, well, Jesus here is talking about a lot of things that I don't think we talk a lot about these days as Christians. You hearing him talk about sin and how much do you hear? I mean, if you go to a Christian bookstore, I mean, do you see many books about sin or talking about sin? Jesus is talking about it. Your talk about judgment, and that's another thing. I mean, what's probably one of the themes of the day and age we live in? The theme is, don't judge me. Well, here you have Jesus talking about judgment, and then you have consequences afterwards. And you see that there will be those that are thrown into the fire. And all those things, sin, judgment, consequences, those being thrown into the fire, well, that's something that you just don't hear much about in Christian circles these days. But what do? Gospels are not long. If you take the parts of your Bible that are red-lettered, you're going to see that it's actually not that much of the Bible. It's just really a small part. And we only have really a small amount of what you would consider Jesus' teaching. And here's Jesus talking about these issues. And if Jesus talks about it, it's important. We need to think about this. Pulled up, burned in the fire. Weeds and wheat. Well, one thing Jesus explains is that as he's looking at it here in this, there's two types of people. There are those that are the good seed, and there are those that are the weeds. And obviously, as they're growing, at first, you can't necessarily tell which is which. Let's look at verse 24. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. Doesn't that stink? You go and you do all the work, and you want to do things right, and you've planted good seed, but then you go to sleep, relaxing, thinking all is well, only to find out that there has been someone at work, someone that you're not aware of, and in this parable, you don't even know who the person is, and this person is doing something that's going to cause you harm. We see that a lot right now. I would love to know how many people in this church in the past year have had their credit card information stolen. I remember last year at this time, at Christmas time, my debit card was compromised, my credit card. David Lambert was living with me, and his credit card was compromised. And I'm trying to remember, I think it was Christian's as well, all in 1 month time. And couldn't figure out how it was. You know, we've guessed maybe somebody went through our trash. Somebody got a hold of mine, and they created a phony account using my name with UPS, and they had ordered several $1,000 of things. And what they do is they order things, they use your credit card, and they have it shipped to the billing address on the card. But then they call back several hours later and say, oh, I made a mistake, this is really a gift. And they change the address. And if when you're placing the order, you're shipping it to a different address other than the billing address, it automatically is flagged. But that's not what they do. They placed the order, and they had it shipped, supposedly, to my home. But then they call back like 10 hours later and say, oh, that's a mistake. I need to have that shipped to a different address. It's a gift. It didn't get flagged. And I get a message from my credit card company, you know, did you authorize this? Did you order this stuff? No, I didn't. So they said, all right, well, we'll stop this. This must be fraudulent. Well, I went on and logged in to my account, and it showed where the company they had charged, and there was a phone number for the company. So I called up the company, and I said, somebody has used my card, and they made this particular order. And I gave them the order number and everything I got right from my credit card company. And they said, thank you for calling us up. They said, normally what happens is we ship it to wherever we get the address to ship to. Then we find out at the end of the month that it was a fraudulent charge, and we've just lost our stuff. So I went down and I called all the places that they had charged to, and I told them it was fraudulent, had them stop the order. One of the orders was for a $1,200 generator that was getting shipped to an address in Miami. And literally, it was on the UPS truck heading there. And I got a hold of UPS, and they were able to stop the shipment so they didn't drop it at the house. And I was like, yeah. But you think about it. I was sitting around the house thinking about getting ready for Christmas, and there were those that were working, trying to steal from me. And there are many of you that you've experienced something similar. While you were at work, somebody was trying to figure out how to break into your house. While you were at work and you were thinking everything was going great, one of your coworkers was talking behind your back, trying to cause problems for you. And sometimes those things happen. This particular case, he planted his seed and someone came in the night and sowed weeds among the wheat. Interesting to note what the servants had to say. And, you know, I was looking at how they put this together in the Greek, and it's a little bit different than the way the NIV translated it. So the NIV translates it like this. It says, verse 20, it says, the owner's servants came to him and said, sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where did the weeds come from? If you look at a literal translation, it's a little bit different than that. The servant said, this is what the servant said. Are you ready? Here's literal. Why didn't you sow good seed in your field? See, they immediately assumed that he just sowed the cheap stuff, junk, in the field. I mean, you think about it. If you're the guy who owns the field, and here's the servants coming up, and the first thing they assume is that you blew it. You did it wrong. And then the second thing they say is they make this other little expression. He says, look at those weeds. So here's a good translation for you. Why didn't you sow good seed? Look at those weeds. And you know, sometimes you do your best on things, but the way the situation works out, there will be those who don't know what's going on at all that will look, may look at you and they say, why'd you do that? And you're thinking to yourself, I didn't do that. I may be getting blamed for it, but I certainly didn't do that. But there they were. And there comes the weeds growing up with the wheat. Here comes the wisdom, verse 30. It says, let them grow together until the harvest. And at that time, I'll tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds, tie them in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. Now, I'd heard this message, I'd heard this scripture, I'd read the scripture, but you know, I never really understood it till one time many years ago, and I was involved in a youth ministry situation. And, you know, when you're looking at teenagers, you have no idea how they're going to turn out. You have a group of teenagers in a church, just by looking, when they're 16, 17 years old, you don't know which one of them is going to turn out to be a scoundrel and which one of them is going to turn out to be the next missionary or businessman. You don't know. Sometimes the young person that's got this squeaky clean background hits 18, 19, 20, and they go off the deep end. And then sometimes you got a kid who's your wild child, and then they hit 18, 19, and they make some adjustments, and they go on and they do wonderful. You just can't, you don't know what you're looking at. I had the kids a couple years ago, and they were juniors and seniors in a Bible class I was teaching, and I talked with them about some stats that came up from the Pew Research Institute about the percentage of young people that fall away from the church and the faith when they move into adulthood. And I mean, the figures were startling. A high percentage of kids who go to church youth groups, they move into their adult life and they break with church and they break with living active Christianity. So I asked him, I said, what do you think you're going to be, you know, 5 years down the road? I mean, are you going to be 5 years down the road? Are you going to be in church? 5 years down the road, are you going to be people who read their Bible, pray every day, try to follow Christ? Or is that going to be a thing of the past? And I had them write a little essay telling me what they think they were going to do. Most of the kids say, oh, well, we're going to be the faithful ones. I said, oh, that was great. And there was a couple of kids that were really honest. They're like, as soon as I graduate from this place, I'm done going to church. And I'm like, well, I appreciated their honesty, you know. Just the way it is. But, you know, even for them, in lots of ways, I mean, when you're looking at teenagers, it's just hard to tell. You don't know what opportunities are going to come their way. You don't know how they're going to respond to things. In a lot of ways, they don't know yet either. There are some that when the hour of temptation comes, they stand strong and firm. And because they stand strong and firm, they grow stronger. And there are others, when temptation and opportunity come, follow it. And it begins a lifestyle of giving in to temptation and following those ways. So, when you're working with young people, pronouncing judgment that's not a good thing to do. I mean, someone made a suggestion one time, and we should kind of go through this group of young people we're working through, and we can tell the kids that are just the trouble ones. Why don't we pick all the trouble ones out, and we'll just work with the ones that are cooperative and have good hearts? And I remember someone made a suggestion like that, one thing I was involved in, and someone quickly spoke up, and they reminded us of the parable of the weeds. It's like, you can't tell. You don't know what you're looking at. Trying to go through and pick out the weeds is a bad idea for a number of reasons. One of the reasons is, like I said, you can't tell what you're looking at. Number two, the whole process of going through and trying to discern and to try to remove the weed could definitely damage a young wheat. So you cause problems to your good stuff by even trying to do it. So you shouldn't do it. And the idea is you let them both grow up together, and then at the harvest time, things can be seen for what they are, and an action can be taken. Well, let's look here. Down in verse 26, when Jesus explains this, look at verse 37. It says, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the sons of the kingdom, and the weeds are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. And as the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age." What a difficult thing. He talks about some people as children of the wicked one. In fact, you find two groups of people. You find sons of the evil one and sons of the kingdom. And let's talk where we ought to. Sons and daughters of the evil one, sons and daughters of the kingdom. And at the judgment time, it will be discerned which one is which, and a decision is going to be made where they belong. And it kind of reminds me in some way of what we find later. Remember that parable where Jesus is talking in the end of Matthew chapter 25 about the sheep and the goats? Remember that? Matthew 25, beginning with verse 31. Listen to what Jesus says. It says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his throne in heavenly glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep and the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. And I was sick, and you looked after me. And I was in prison, and you came to visit me.' And then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?' And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'"